You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The American Angle with William Hill.
Everyone, a very warm welcome back to William Hill's US Sports Podcast. Good to have you with us this week. We're looking ahead to week 12 of the American football season, and we've got five games to go at across the slate this week as we begin to head into the business end of the season. Sam Norris here, joined by William Hill US Sports trader Stephen Back. How are you, Stephen?
Very well, like you said, it's getting toward the business end of the year. It's coming and going fast.
Yeah, we're getting to the real nitty gritty now, and the playoff picture is starting to become a little bit clearer. In week 11, by the way, we had the first team officially ruled out of the playoff picture, which is the now 0-10 Cincinnati Bengals, who officially now cannot make the playoffs. I was kind of surprised that it's taken this long for. With so many bad teams this year, they're the first team that's been officially mathematically ruled out.
Especially when you had the Dolphins that were just.
Yeah.
Like we said, they were tanking for Tua, but obviously now he's done with the hip.
So yeah, indeed.
I think the one I heard was blowing for Burrow now.
It is, yeah, of course.
Which is
Cincinnati
will be doing, seeing as they're based in Ohio, and I think that's his home state as well.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure, but either way, I'm surprised it's taken this long for someone to be eliminated, because there have been some awful teams this year.
Yeah, so the first team officially out of Super Bowl contention has come over the course of last week in the shape of the Bengals. Two teams, though, who will feel that they are still very firmly in the mix go head-to-head on Thursday night. It's going to be a big, big week for the AFC South. It's already the closest division in football, and we've got the Colts playing the Texans this week, and the Jaguars play the Titans as well. So all four teams meet this week in the AFC South, which, as I say, is already just about the tightest division that there is. The Thursday night game is in Houston, the Colts at the Texans. 7-4 for the Colts, 1-2 the Texans. 3.5-point spread at the time of recording sees Houston -3.5 at 10-11. Indy +3.5 at 10-11. And it's a 45.5-point spread here, 10-11 over and under in that respect. Obviously, these are two teams that are pretty familiar with each other, being divisional opponents. They got a bonus meeting as well last season in the playoffs when the Colts beat them in the wild card round of the playoffs last year. It means that they've won two straight games now against the Texans. They also beat them this season in week 6. Going to be a big week for the Texans in many ways. It's going to be a big test of Deshaun Watson's capability of bouncing back from the heavy, heavy defeat in week 11 when the Ravens put them away 41-7. That was billed last week, as we were saying ourselves, you know, one of the games of the week. It should have been on paper, and the Ravens just blew them out of the water. That was Deshaun Watson's biggest loss as a starter, both in the NFL and in college at Clemson. As a starter for the Texans and at Clemson, he never lost a game by more than 8 points, and they were battered last week. I don't know about his high school record, so he might imagine
it's a pretty good one.
Yeah, he might have tasted a heavy defeat in high school, but in college and in the NFL, that was by far and away his biggest defeat. So, an important week to see how Watson and the Texans can bounce back against a Colts team who looked much better with Jacoby Brissett back under center last week.
They did. He was a bit rusty. 148 pass yards, 15-24. But the issue for the Colts, once again, is injuries. They've lost Marlon Mack now for a number of weeks with a fractured hand. They've been dealing with injuries all year. Obviously, Brissett was missing for the loss against the Dolphins. He's come back in now.
No T.Y. Hilton as well.
No T.Y. Hilton. So the players they're missing at skill positions is what could ultimately hamper them. I mean, last week they were just able to run the ball down the Jags' throat with Marlon Mack, and the backup running back is completely evading me now.
Jonathan Williams.
There we are, Jonathan Williams.
And they've got Nabil Hines as well, haven't they? But he's kind of more involved in the pass game.
Yeah.
So as much as he's a running back.
So they've got their formula at the minute, I think, is run the ball down teams and try and control the game, which with the running backs they've got, unfortunately, without Mack now, it might be a little bit harder to do against the Texans, who don't have a great run game themselves or a run defense. But it's... can Brissett be healthy enough and not have the rust or the injury effect to control the game and out-duel Watson? Because on paper, you'd go for Watson in the quarterback in the quarterback fight. So the Texans arguably are coming up against the Colts at the right time with all their injuries. But on paper, it should be a Colts matchup. And when you look at the last, between the last six games they've played, the Colts are 5-1 against the spread. The road team's also 8-2-2 against the spread in the last 12. Everything's going for the Colts, like you said. But it's literally do or die for these two. Like you said, the Colts currently own the head-to-head in the division race. As a result, we surprised me the slight outsiders for the division race. So the Texans are 10-11 favs. Colts are 13-8 in second place to try and win the division. And
do you think that's factored in the fact that the Texans are favourite for this game?
It must be factored in for this game. But the fact that the Colts, it's in the head-to-head, the Colts have the matchup at the minute. It surprises me how much it does swing it, because if the Colts win this game, then it will slide massively in their favour, as they'll own the head-to-head outright and they'll have the one-game lead, because both teams are currently 6-4 record. When you look at the betting for this, it's sort of that torn between head and heart kind of thing. You're thinking you've got to go for the Texans, considering all the injuries to the Colts, but the head's swinging towards the Colts for some reason. Given the injuries, given the Colts record against the Texans and the fact that they are coming off that huge loss to the Ravens.
Yeah.
A massive deflation for the team when they were quite high on confidence, I imagine. So I think the Colts plus 3.5 if I'm going with my head on this one.
Okay. The Colts plus 3.5. Then the choice in the Thursday night game, in what is going to be a key matchup, obviously, for the AFC South. Going forward, the winner of this one, of course, will take the lead in the division. On to the weekend's action then, starting with the Sunday 6 o'clock game, the Seattle Seahawks at the Philadelphia Eagles. It was originally the primetime game on Sunday night, but it's now taking place at 6 o'clock. But it is the televised game in the UK, 21-20 for the Seahawks, 4-5 about the Eagles. This spread, just over the course of the last hour before recording this, has moved between 2 and 1.5. It's currently 1.5. The Seahawks getting that 1.5 are 10-11, and the Eagles giving the 1.5 points is 10-11. A flat 48 in terms of the over-under here, on the total point spread, and again, that's 10-11 both ways. We're recording this sort of late Tuesday afternoon. I feel convinced that this line is going to change by the time we get round to game time. The Seahawks are 8-2. They're underdogs here to the 5-5 Eagles, who I know have got home field advantage, but the Seahawks are off their biggest win of the season in Monday Night Football in Week 10. They had a bye in Week 11, so they've had plenty of time to focus on the Eagles. They're unbeaten on the road as well. And the Eagles, for me this season, they've just been okay, kind of evidenced by their exactly 500 record. Big win against the Packers, admittedly, but the other teams they've beaten have been the Redskins, the Jets, the Bears. Decent enough win against the Bills, admittedly, but they're no more than okay for me, the Eagles, whereas the Seahawks have looked very good all year. I am amazed the Seahawks are the dogs here, even though they're on the road. Can you make sense of the betting?
No. I was exactly the same when I saw this. To think last week you had the Patriots are 3.5-point favs in Philadelphia. The Seahawks, obviously, they've just come off the bye, so they've had 2 weeks to prepare for this. Coming off that great win in San Francisco, I can't fathom how they are underdogs as well in this one. So I think for the pair of us, it is just you take the Seahawks in whatever form you like. The interesting one for me, though, is that how the Seahawks are always seem to be involved in close games. Yep. 8 of their 10 results this year have been one score or less. The only two that weren't was a win over the win over the Cardinals, which was a 27-10 win, and a loss to the Ravens when they lost 30-16. So the other bet that really screams out to me, if you want to go that way, is if you look at the winning margins, is Seattle 1-6 points, 15-4, because they're always involved in close games, this team. And this, to me, because this was originally going to be the Sunday night fixture, it's been flexed out for the Packers game, which we'll get onto later on in the podcast. But just like yourself, I think you can't stray too far away from the Seahawks. They've looked a brilliant outfit this year. They keep managing to pull out these close games, but against better opposition for me than the Eagles. And I think the Eagles are flattering to deceive at the minute. They're still hanging around in the playoff picture because of how poor the NFC East has looked in comparison to the rest of the NFC. And every game really for the Eagles now is must win if they're looking to make a postseason. They're not really going to have a shot at a wild card, considering the Seahawks are 8-2 and still not even leading their own division. So every game for them is a must win, especially games at home where they've got to take advantage. So for me, it's obviously a must win for Eagles, but I can't look past the Seahawks at +1.5 if you want to take it as a safety blanket, but 21-20 on the money line. And like you said, by the time we get to kickoff time at 6 o'clock on Sunday, I can imagine this line of being flipped and the Seahawks being favs.
Definitely. 21-20 Seahawks on the money line looks unbelievably good early week value. And I like your bet as well. As you say, when the Seahawks do win games, they've tended not to batter teams this season. So 15-4 for the Hawks to win by 1 to 6 points. Also looks a good way in on that one. And of course, now potentially winning the division looks a little bit more achievable for the Seahawks. When the Niners remained the only unbeaten team in the NFL, it looked at that point as though Seahawks might have to settle for second in the division. But now all of a sudden they're only a game back of the Niners, who, you know, tasted their first defeat to the Seahawks a couple of weeks ago. Didn't look that great against the Cardinals, I didn't think, last week. So the division race is firmly back on for the Seahawks here as well, whereas it looked a couple of weeks ago like it might not be.
Definitely. So obviously with that win over the Niners, they'll have the head-to-head. Obviously, yep, they're a game back still, so they'll be relying on the teams. They'll face them once more in Seattle. I think it's either week 16 towards the end of the season. But in terms of the outright odds, the Niners are 4-11 to win the NFC West, and the Seahawks are 2-1 outsiders, which isn't a bad price for me if you look
at. I like the Hawks in that, yeah.
And then if you really want to go outside, the Rams are 20-1, which isn't beyond the realms of possibility. But for me, the Seahawks at 2-1 is a nice little bet to have to cheer on for a competitive division. It's the best price you're going to get for an outsider, I think, with a realistic chance of winning the division at this point in the season.
Yeah, definitely so. On to another team in the NFC East then, currently the leaders of this division. We've got the leaders of the NFC East playing the leaders of the AFC East, with the Cowboys at the Patriots. 12-5 for the Cowboys. The Patriots are 5-14. A 6.5-point spread here. 10-11 for the Cowboys, getting the 6.5 and giving the 6.5 for New England is 10-11. A flat 46 is where the points line is set this week. 10-11 over and under there. As well, both won last week. The Cowboys beat the Lions, who were without Matt Stafford, and the Patriots beat the Eagles. We've mentioned the Eagles already on the podcast. I think this might be a bit closer than the betting suggests. The Patriots offense didn't really sizzle for me last week against the Eagles. They do enough to win. They'll probably do enough to win again. But I thought Dallas could maybe hang around. They've been a team that you've not been that enthusiastic about betting this year, really, the Cowboys, with good reason. Just didn't think the Patriots' offense last week was absolutely sparkling against the Eagles.
No, but then again, they did enough to get the win and cover.
And they won by a touchdown.
And cover the spread as well. So yeah, it's one of the things where you can't really back down for the Patriots. Another advantage I think they have is they are a cold weather team and playing in Foxborough.
Yeah, sure.
The Cowboys are used to playing in Jerry World in a nice indoor stadium. They're not used to the cold weather, which I think, from what I've heard, the weather is going to be another naff November night in New England, where it could play into their hands and it could play against the Cowboys and Dak Prescott, who's not really used to those conditions.
Yeah.
Going back as well, when you actually look at the head-to-heads between these two, Dallas has not won in Foxborough since 1987.
Really?
So they're looking for a long overdue win. They've never beaten New England in the Brady Belichick era either. So it's a case of they've got the wool over the Cowboys of the Patriots. So for me, you can't really look past them. It's a boring thing that we say a lot of times on the podcast, and even when I'm in the office, is you can't really look past the Patriots AFC just because they've been there and they've done it so many times and they've got the rings to show for it. But for me, Dallas, they just haven't been convincing enough, even in their wins. I mean, last week they won 35-27 over the Lions, but the Lions were without Matt Stafford, who's now probably done for the year, unfortunately for your Lions, with the broken bones in his back, and they had to literally drag him off the field to end his consecutive start streak. But they've won three of the last four of the Cowboys, but they're only over Detroit, the Giants, and the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not the most convincing of wins. And the interesting thing is, against winning teams this year, they've only played three winning teams at the time, and they're 0-3 against the spread. So it's not a great sign for them. The game they won against the Eagles, they were 500, so obviously not a winning team. But for me, you just can't look past the Patriots. And you're talking about the NFC East outrights. Cowboys are currently favourites at 4-6, and then the Eagles, slight outsiders at 11-10. Obviously, the Cowboys have the head-to-head in that matchup. Both teams are playing competitive games this week, so both could see a loss, but they do play once more in Philadelphia if you're looking at that division market as well.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I think the Cowboys might stick within a touch. I don't think they'll win at all, but 9.5 on the spread is 4-6. I kind of don't mind that. The fact that the normal, you know, the regulation spread is not quite a touchdown puts me off a little bit. But maybe on the alternative handicaps for the Cowboys. Another interesting point for me as well, I want to talk Tony Pollard as well for the Cowboys. They've got to find a way to get this guy more touches. This is a stat that I've nicked off Twitter, and thank you to Michael Gelken, who I've pinched this stat off, who's the Dallas beat reporter. The Cowboys this season are 6-0 when Pollard gets double-digit snaps, and they're 0-4 when he doesn't. They've got a 6-4 record. A little bit of that can be offset by the fact that some of those snaps came in blowout wins when obviously Zeke was being rested, so Pollard came on.
I suppose when Zeke was also coming off the holdout at the start of the season, where he wasn't actually featured much in the offense.
Yeah, sure. But he got a touchdown last week, Tony Pollard. I've been very impressed with him. I know they've given Zeke the big money, so they
have to ride and die with him.
Yes, he has to be the guy. But I think if they can get Pollard a little bit more involved in this offense, I think we could see the Cowboys try and kick on a little bit here. I think the Patriots will win, but I'm not sure they're going to absolutely blow the Cowboys out, would be my thought. Although those are some damning statistics you mentioned there about the record in New England and the fact that, you know, we're getting to the time of the year now where we're likely to see some snowy games taking place.
It's interesting because I think if Dak Prescott is able to get a win in Foxborough, then I think it really does legitimise why he's one of the better quarterbacks. And there was an interesting stat that I heard. Obviously, I'm not going to take credit for this. I heard this on another podcast, which was, it shocked me, in Dak Prescott's last 16 games, so the first 10 of this season and the last 6 of last regular season, he's thrown for over 5,000 yards.
Really?
And I think it was 38 touchdowns, which shocked me when I heard it, because I've not been the biggest, well, as many of you who've listened to the podcast, I'm not the biggest Dak fan.
Yeah.
I don't trust him, but he seems to have got it done. Whether a lot of that is feasting on, like he did at the start of the season against some poor teams, obviously in his division, he's got the Redskins and the Giants. But if he can manage to pull this off, then I think it almost legitimizes the idea that they paid the wrong guy, let's be honest.
Yeah, sure,
they shouldn't have paid Zeke, and they should have paid Dak, because unfortunately you can get running backs off a conveyor belt, it seems, in the NFL, and they've got a great backup in Pollard, and it's going to be a debate for them what they do with him going forward. But for me, look at this betting, I'm still happy to take the Patriots -6, okay, to be honest, to win by a touchdown, given the record for the Cowboys, and it's going to be in Foxborough, cold night. I think it's going to be a good win for the Patriots.
Okay, that's the Sunday 9:25 game. Then on to the Sunday night / Monday morning matchup, the Green Bay Packers at the San Francisco 49ers, and this has been, as you mentioned earlier, on Flex to be the primetime game. An understandable choice, I think, from the powers that be, because this should be a good one. 6-4 the Packers, 10-17 for the Niners, +3 Green Bay is 20-21, -3 San Francisco is 20-23, 46.5 is your point spread here, and again 10-11 over and under. Should be a good game. The Packers are 8-2, the Niners are 9-1, so a proper prime time matchup on the way here. Packers are off the bye week, of course, in week 11. Niners got back to winning ways in week 11, having tasted the first defeat of the season in week 10. And I wasn't that convinced by the Niners really last week. They ended up winning by 10, putting a little bit of gloss on the score thanks to that ridiculous touchdown very late in the game, where they sort of recovered a botched lateral pass from the Cardinals, and they went in for the touchdown, which by the way, from it didn't affect the outcome of the game, but from a betting perspective, did the line close at 10 points last week?
Yeah, so you ended up getting the push.
That's a bad beat if you were a Cardinals backer last week. Look, I actually backed them last week. Luckily, I got +11 earlier on in the week, so it didn't really affect me. But I was sort of thinking, are they going to kick an extra point here? Because this will be a sickening beat if they do. Fortunately, they didn't kick an extra point, but I have to feel for anyone who backed the Cards +10 last week.
Yeah,
because it didn't really look in trouble until
when I saw that line when it opened up. It was a 13.5 point spread for the Niners, and I was thinking to myself, get on the Cardinals early doors at +13.5, because they're not going to beat by two touchdowns. And well, I was right in the end.
Yeah.
But they squeaked it out after trailing 16-0 to the Cardinals.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals, it's a shame they're in such a competitive division, because they're going to get, unfortunately, their fair set of batterings from the division opponents. But going forward, this could be a frisky team, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Obviously not this year, but in years to come, injuries to the competitors, they could be a team to look out for, but at the minute, they're not quite there, and the problem they'll have had is the Niners' defense will have run is something that they've got to contend with going forward. They've got a few injuries at the minute, but Jimmy G had, I think, on paper, his best game of the year, 424 pass yards, 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, because this has been a real run first team. I think they had the heaviest run percentage of anyone in the league going into last week. But obviously, when you find yourself down 16 zip, you've got to throw the ball a little bit. Matt Breida's obviously injured as well, so that hampers the running game. They're down to Tevin Coleman and Mozart, I think, is the Mozart. I can't remember his name now. The backup. But Matt Breida is out. You're down 16. You've got to air the ball out a little bit. A shame for them that they're missing top target George Kittle as well last week.
Yeah. Deebo Samuel, their rookie wide receiver, had a great game. I think he had 124 receiving yards.
And to be fair, Ross Dwelly, the backup tight end, had two scores, I think, last week, and then a further one called back. So, you know, clearly there is depth outside of George Kittle in the tight end position for the Niners. But I think overall, I just wasn't mad convinced by them last week. And, you know, they've got a tough game this week against Green Bay.
They have. And Green Bay, for me, the other thing is as well, this is going to be which team does the NFL want going forward? Because every time I watch the Packers, I swear they always seem to get phantom calls. They always seem to get the friendly whistle.
Yeah, regardless. Rodgers is a real golden boy, isn't he?
He is the league's golden boy, and they will protect him to no end. So they will be playing the 12th man in the referees, the Niners, even though they're at home. Interesting at this one. So the over is 7-2 in the last 9 meetings, and I think that is, for me, one of the bets for this game is taking over 46.5. But also this season, the Packers are 5-0 against the spread against winning teams. Right, so they're 3-point dogs in this one, but they turn up against the good teams. It's amazing to think they lost to the Eagles early doors in the year.
Yeah, I know.
But I, even though I don't particularly like to root for the Packers, I think this is a game that they'll be able to pull out. I think it's one of those ones where if you're taking the teams head-to-head, the issue for the Packers is going to be their run defense for a team that likes to run the ball. And if they can get, as long as it's not in the same situation as last week, where the Packers take an early lead and you have to rely on Jimmy G. If they've got Matt Breida back, I'm not sure if he's going to be fit for this week. And they've got Breida and Coleman fit. It could be a problem for the Packers in that run defense. But at the same time, Aaron Jones has been playing very well for the Packers as well. But the Niners have been able to control the line of scrimmage a lot better. If they're going to able to get pressure, if Bosa's able to get around the line and pressure Rodgers into some iffy throws or just manage to sack him, then it could spell problem for the Packers. But for me, +3 with the Packers, obviously you've got the push opportunity involved in that. Yeah, I think it'll be a close game, but I think the Packers are the bet this week in terms of teams. But the over 46.5, I think, for me, is the better lock.
Yeah, I don't think I disagree with you there. I quite like the Packers getting 3. As I say, not overly convinced by the Niners last week, despite the fact they ended up winning by 10, but didn't really tell the full story. On to the Monday night game then, the Baltimore Ravens at the Los Angeles Rams, 10-17, sorry, for the Ravens, 6-4 for the Rams. It's a 3-point spread here, -3 the Ravens is 20-23, +3 for the Rams is 20-21, and the point spread is 46.5 here as well, 10-11 for the over, 10-11 for the under. Big win for the Ravens last week. Absolutely thumped the Texans 41-7. It's the number one scoring offense in football. They've now put up 30-plus points in 4 straight weeks and 40-plus points in the last 2 games. Are the Ravens the best team in football right now?
One of.
Yeah?
Definitely one of. It's a case of, for me, it's a case of their road to a potential Super Bowl, for me, relies on them getting home field advantage in the AFC.
Yeah.
So if you've got, because at the moment it's all leading up to a Ravens-Pats AFC Championship game, and where that game is, I think, will decide on who wins it for me.
Okay.
Because I'll be interested to see what the Patriots do in Foxborough, which, for me, if your Patriots are at home in the playoffs, I'm just not going against them.
Yeah.
Whereas if the Ravens manage to steal home field advantage, obviously they're a game behind the Patriots overall. They've got the head-to-head if they manage to get the tied record because they won their one-off matchup. It could be interesting, but the problem is they've got to rely on the Patriots slipping up a lot across the way. They've got some competitive games coming up, Patriots. Obviously, they've got this week against Cowboys. They also have the Chiefs going to Foxborough soon. Yep. But unfortunately, then after that, they've got the easy games left on the AFC slate, it's going to be hard for the Ravens to rely on the likes of the Dolphins to try and come with an upset win. But for me, they are the most exciting team to watch in the NFL. Lamar Jackson is just a revelation, because we all have our skepticisms about the new generation of running quarterbacks. That it's a worry we've seen in the past with the likes of Robert Griffin III, whereby they just get injured, whereas he seems to have the right blend of when to run it.
Yeah.
And when he does run it, it's amazing to watch. I mean, there was another great play this weekend. It didn't result in a touchdown, but another amazing spin move, and he just seems to slice the defenses up. And as a result, why he is now the fav for the MVP voting, because of how well he has done last week. He had 220 pass yards, 4 touchdowns, 86 rushing yards. He didn't get a rushing touchdown this week, but he's now 5-4 favourite for the MVP, just shading out Russell Wilson at 7-4. And then I think those are the only two you can really look at
now.
Yeah,
it's looking at two-horse race.
It's two-horse race. Even though Rodgers has had a decent season with the Packers, he's 12-1, a big outsider, and I can't look past these two, in Russell and Lamar.
Yeah, definitely. I think over the course of the last week or so, obviously Wilson didn't get a chance to play last week, but I do think Jackson has become the worthy favourite in this market. In terms of this matchup, we've spoke about the Rams on a few occasions this season, and again, they're kind of a team that we've branded as unconvincing on a few occasions. And Jared Goff in particular, after getting the big money deal, and again last week against the Bears, he just doesn't convince me at all at the moment, Jared Goff.
It's a shame, because I picked the Rams to win the NFC West in our preseason podcast. I thought there'd be they build on the momentum of reaching the Super Bowl last year, and it's almost as if they've peaked.
Yep.
Their Super Bowl appearance last year was their peak in the first real year of Sean McVay turning this team around, the move to LA. And they can't seem to muster anything on offense, and that's the worry for me against this Ravens side that seems to put points on the board for fun. You're going to realistically need 30 points on the board to beat the Ravens, because they're scoring easy 4 touchdowns a week. Can you see this Rams team putting up 30 points, 28 points to win a game? I can't.
No,
so,
absolutely not.
And it's reflected on the year. I mean, the over-under, the under 7-3 in the Rams 10 games this season, which doesn't, for me, I know it's a different stat, a different market, but it doesn't bode well, because the Ravens is such a high-powered offense. I can't see the Rams being able to match it, which is why I'd lean heavily into the Ravens -3.
Yeah, I think that's a nice spread this week. I know they're on the road, but -3 for the way they've been playing recently. You know, I know it was only the Bengals a couple of weeks ago, but it was the Texans last week, and they wiped the floor with them. I was a big fan of them only giving up 3 points. I think that's a great bet this week on the Monday night game. Time for a quick look at the Super Bowl betting as well, whilst we're on the subject of the Baltimore Ravens, because they have to have been the springer in the market over the last couple of weeks, the way they have been playing. The New England Patriots are the 3-1 favourites. The Ravens are now 4-1. The Saints are still there at 6-1. 13-2 for the Niners. The Chiefs are 9-1. The Packers are 12-1. Seattle are 16s. It's 18s and bigger the rest. Presumably, the Ravens have been the big mover in the betting over the last couple of weeks, Stephen.
Yeah, it's not just in the season. In the last couple of weeks, it's over the season. I mean, none of us really had the Ravens on the radar for the Super Bowl.
I think everyone was, as you said earlier, was worried about Lamar Jackson and whether he was going to prove himself to be the kind of quarterback who can pass as well as run, pass competently enough, keep himself out of trouble, keep himself from getting hurt. And he's just answered all those questions. And when you've got a quarterback who answers those questions, his team are going to contract.
Exactly. He's got the weapons around him. He's got the running backs behind him as well. He's got the quality wide receivers, and Harbaugh's literally turned this offense around after seeing that Lamar was the future, got rid of Flacco, sent him to Denver, and completely reshaped this offense around the quarterback, which let's be honest, if you've got the talent, a great talent at quarterback, that's what you have to do. You have to shape and mold your team around it, just like the Chiefs have done, like the Ravens have done. And it's really flipped places. I mean, at the start of the year, all we looked at was the AFC Championship game was all aligned towards the Pats and the Chiefs. Yep. And now it's looking like a Pats Ravens. As a result, the Chiefs have now drifted out to 9-1. So if you think that, and obviously we know the fallibilities of the Chiefs' defense, they managed to get the win last week, as we're recording this on a Tuesday, last night, or this morning, in fact, they played in Mexico City against the Chargers and got the 7-point win. But the problem is their defense, and for me, if the Ravens are going to play the Chiefs, then it's going to be Ravens all day long, because the Chiefs are not going to be able to stop the Ravens in any way, shape, or form on defense. And as a result, it's these two teams are the Favs, 3-1 for the Patriots, 4-1 for the Ravens. I think the value, personally, is all in the NFC teams.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's so competitive and there's so many ways it could go. I mean, both of us, before we started recording the podcast, we looked at the Seahawks at 16-1 as a great value outside bet.
Looks really, really big, that. Really
it,
big.
It does for a side that have run the run up against the best team, well, the best record in the NFC, the best odds for, the favourite for the NFC is still the New Orleans Saints. And I wouldn't look outside of them, even though they've not necessarily got the best record. I think when it comes to playoff time, it's going to have to go through the Saints, even though the Niners will have home field advantage as it currently stands.
Yeah.
But a lot can change between now and the end of the season. For me, the best value bet is the Seahawks at 16-1. And then outside of that, I don't really... The Vikings could be an interesting bet. I think that's more for Vikings fans, 18-1, just because I haven't...
It's going to be tough for them to win their division now as well.
I think they've almost got a wild card slot nailed down for me, but it's going to be such a long road for them having to go through wild card, and how competitive it's going to be in the NFC. The teams are going to have to go through to get to that point. They're not going to play at home at any point, which will be a problem for them. And it comes down to that question again of Kirk Cousins doing it in primetime games, which...
Yeah, yeah.
He's started to turn his reputation around recently in some of the bigger games he's played, and he's come up with the wins, but can he do it on the bigger stage, which we're yet to see from him? But for me, the Seahawks at 16-1 is a nice outsiders, but the Ravens at 4-1 is looking a good bet right now.
Yeah, definitely. So really excited to see them take on the Rams this week and hopefully solidify their Super Bowl credentials. That'll about do it for today then. We'll be back for week 13 next week. And I'm looking forward to it. See you then, Stephen.
See you then.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.